often, those who minister the gospel of Christ for extended periods of time feel exhausted, empty, and at the end of their ministry. But as you'll learn today, when our hearts and hands are empty, yet God's future plans and purposes for us are full and fulfilling. Listen in as Pastor Chris Doster elaborates.
I tell you what, stand with us if you will. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God, 1 Samuel chapter 15. And let's look at verse number 26 and following. The Bible said, "And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, "The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent." And he said, "I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel. And turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God." So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Skip down, if you will, to verse 34. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, Lord, as we've read your word, I pray, God, that you'd help us, read us. Oh, God, Lord, I ask you, you'd give us Holy Spirit hearing here tonight. May God, you let us receive, let us hear just exactly what you want us to hear tonight. Speak to our hearts. And God, may we leave this place differently. May we leave this place changed. God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. As you're seated, I want to just, by way of introduction, a year ago or so, I started a series through the book of Judges, and I couldn't stop at the end of Judges. I didn't stop until 1 Samuel chapter 16, because Samuel actually was the last judge over Israel, and I enjoyed that so much I just kept on and kept on. But you may not have been studying the life of Samuel lately, but Samuel, I was, of course, if you remember 1 Samuel chapter number 3, his mother there in chapter number 1 and 2, we find out that she's wanting a child. She's begging God for a child, and God gives her a child, and she said, I'll lend him to the Lord, and he'll be there all the days of his life. She took him to be raised at the feet of a man by the name of Eli. Now, the interesting thing about Eli is that he was a judge. However, the ways of God had become perverted under his judgeship. His sons were there, and they are causing all sorts of problems around the house of God. People detested the offering before the Lord, and she believed God so much that she went and left her boy to be raised at the feet of Eli. I had never really thought about it that way until I was studying through this. And so Samuel is starting to be raised in the house of God around the things of God. And God speaks to Samuel. It sounded so much like the only voice that he knew about the things of God, Eli, that he went to him and said, "Eli, did you call me?" And he went, "No, boy, go lay down." Of course, you know the story. It goes about three times, and finally Eli perceived the Lord was calling him, said, "If he calls again, then answer this way." And he did, and God spoke to Samuel. God gave Samuel a hard message to deliver. The next morning, Eli said, "Son, what did God have to say to you?" He said, "God's going to rent the kingdom from you, and your sons are going to die. It's going to be bad." He said, "Well, the Lord bless you for giving it to me straight." We need some preachers that will just give us what God has to say. Just give it to us straight. And Samuel's life was a life that God blessed. However, his life was not a life that was filled with roses and whipped cream all the time. There were some difficulties in the life of Samuel. The Bible tells us that his sons did not follow in his footsteps. I'm a parent. I have three children. My oldest is 14 now, and I've not tread into some of the deep waters some of you have. And I cannot begin to imagine the hurt and the heartache of a parent whose children are not following the ways of God. Samuel, though he was anointed by God, no doubt had some difficult days in his life. I want to preach just a little while. This is poor English, but I liked the title, so I went with it. Wore out and poured out. Wore out and poured out. Samuel had a life where he had poured himself out into the lives of many. Samuel was one that was faithful to the call of God, faithful to do what God had called him to do, God had told him to do. Samuel was a man that he, at the end of his life, he's trying to step off the scene. Chapter number 11, I believe it is, he's basically trying to retire because God has told him that they're going to want a king, and it's not my will, but you go ahead and anoint this man. And he's trying to step off the scene. And he tells him, said, "Have I done any of you wrong? Is there anything you can say negatively against my ministry?" And none of them could. Would to God we as men of God would have that kind of testimony at the end of our life, that we were faithful to God and faithful to do what God wanted us to do. But Samuel had some things that had transpired in his life, and don't want to belabor the point here, but at the end of his life, he anointed a man by the name of Saul. We all know he was not God's choice. He was the people's choice. The Bible said he stood head and shoulders above all the rest of the men. And they said, "This is the king that we need. This is the king that we want." And God said, "This is not the man that I choose for you. You're going to pick a king, and he's going to take from you, and he's going to take from you, and he's going to take from you." And he did just exactly that. He took from them where God wanted a man that would pour into them. They picked a king that would take their sons, take their land, take all these things. And the Bible said in verse number 19 that this man Saul rebelled against God. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 19. "Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord." In verse number 18, God tells them, "Go and destroy the Amalekites. Utterly destroy them. Everything about them, all that they have, destroy it all." And he did not do what God told him to do. Let me give us something. We often feel like and often think that I may not be in rebellion against God because I'm not shaking my fist in his face. I'm not bowing my back against him. But if we're not doing everything he told us to do, then we are rebelling against what God told us to do. And that's exactly what Saul did. He said, "I'll take the good things and offer them to the Lord. I'll take these good things." And God was not pleased in that. Not pleased at all. In fact, back verse number 22, Samuel tells him, said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And then he pronounces the judgment on him. The results, verse number 23 said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Samuel had to tell Saul, if you would have done what God told you to do, if you would have just followed his will and his way, I don't have time, but if you want to look in chapter number 13, we can see that as well, where that Saul had already started rebelling against God, and Samuel told him, if you'd have just listened to me, that the kingdom would have stayed in your house forever, but because you've done that, God's going to go and find another man. God's going to find somebody else to take your place. A few chapters later, he's still doing the same thing. One of the problems I've found in modern day church is we don't really repent. We're sorry we got caught. But we don't repent of the things we're doing to break the heart of God. He makes a plea with him. Said, pray. Pray that God will help me. Pray that God will touch me. And he tells him, God's not going to repent from what he said. I jotted this down. Someone wiser than I said this. You may choose your sin, but you do not choose the consequences. We may choose the sin we decide to get involved in, but we do not choose the consequences that come. Someone else said it like this. Sin, talking about the consequences of sin. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go, cost you more than you wanted to stay, and keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And so I began to think about that and think about how that Samuel had to talk about and tell Saul about the judgment of God that was coming on his life. And no doubt it did not help Samuel to do that. It was not something that he took pride in doing. It was not something that he wanted to do. Man, he hated it. He hated that was going on. He thought, I've poured out my life. I've poured out myself. I've tried and tried and tried, and I feel like I'm poured out, but I'm wore out. Brother Gary, give me that first one, the one that's empty. Sometimes it just leads you to drinking, won't it? I'm just kidding. I thought about old Samuel. He's just a little bit left down in there. Just a little bit left. Man, he tried as hard as he could. If you think about it, there really were three anointings that had already transpired at this point. He had poured himself into the citizens of his land. He had poured all that was in him out on them. And the Bible said in chapter number 11, I think it is, chapter number 8 rather, said, Samuel, behold, thou art old. Let me just pause right there. What a shameful thing to when a man of God gets some age on him and doesn't have the cool factor as much anymore, that a church should decide, we don't need this old man of God. Let's get us somebody new. Let's get us somebody young and hip and fresh. Most of you don't know me. I'm not the kind of person that resists change and all that stuff, but I do believe in sticking by what God has used and what God has blessed. And Samuel, from the day that he was born up until this time, his whole life was spent pour it out on the people of God. And now they're ready to get rid of it. He poured out onto his sons. That's probably one of the most hurtful things. He poured into them. He wanted them to love his God, love the ministry. He wanted them to serve and be faithful. And they followed not. They didn't serve as Samuel did. While God's talking to Samuel, Samuel's talking to God, he said, "Samuel, they've not rejected thee, but they've rejected me." I've been pastoring since 2004. And as a pastor, it hurts. Brother Jonathan, I think you can agree it hurts to be rejected. But even more so is to see them reject the God of Israel. The God that saved them. The God that washed them. They've not rejected thee. They've rejected me. No doubt, Samuel's heart was broken. He looked at his countrymen. He looked at the fellow believers. He looked at the people. He saw them grow up. He saw their kids have kids and grandbabies. And he saw all that now at the end of his life. They say, "We want somebody new. We saw what the world's doing. We saw what everybody else is doing. And we want that." Not what God wants. Give us a king. He poured out on the sons, poured out on the citizens, poured out on Saul. God told him how it was going to be. But I'd imagine Samuel was a man like you and I. Samuel had the best hopes for Saul. He hoped that Saul would do right. He told him, "Saul, if you'll do what God tells you to do, God will bless you. He'll bless our nation. He'll go far and above and beyond anything you can think or ask." And he poured out on Saul. And no doubt all of that left him wore out and poured out. You ever felt like, "I just don't have anything else to give. I just don't have anything to pour out. I'm empty. I'm dry." God, help us in those times. And in Bible college, they taught us something that I think will be an encouragement to you. Just because you come to the end of the chapter does not mean the story ends. So we see there was rebellion. We see that there was a consequence that was involved in all that. We see that God had brought down the judgment. There was results that came with all that. However, we are told there's still a remnant. In chapter number 16 and verse number 1, the Bible said this, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Just take it out right there. There you go. Hallelujah. Samuel had this old horn, and it was wore out, and it had been poured out, and he'd done everything he could with it. He tried the best he could.
And God said, I've seen you, Samuel. I've seen you struggling. I've seen you praying. I've seen you crying. I've seen you trying. I've seen everything you've been going through. And now it's time to turn the page. Now it's time to write a brand new chapter. He said, Samuel, you may feel like you're wore out. You may feel like you're poured out. But oh, Samuel, you got one... You got one more anointing in you, boy. You got one more that I'm going to use for you. You got one more that I'm going to bless. He said, Samuel, you feel like you're poured out. You feel like you're wore out. But he said, fill up your horn. There's one. Hey, hey. There's one more. There's one more down in you, boy. He said, I got a purpose for you. I got a plan for you. I don't want you to sit around in perpetual brokenness. To sit around and grieve forever. To sit around in sorrow for the rest of your life. He said, how long will you mourn? Fill up your horn and go. And I like these next few words. For I have provided. For I have provided. Oh, the devil is real tricky about getting us to sit around and mourn everything we lost, everyone we lost, every situation where we took an L in the column. Every situation, we can look at it and mull it over and sit and think about it, and we'll think about all the things that went wrong. But I'm glad, hallelujah, the best days of your life do not lay behind you. They lay ahead of you. The Bible said, I have provided. I'm glad, hallelujah, the best days are still ahead. The best days are just in sight. Everything that's good in your life's not left back there. There's some things ahead of you. I've already provided them. I've already taken care of them. I've already got it lined up. You just fill your horn with oil and go. Has God ever told you, I've got more ahead of you than you got behind you? Maybe God sent me here to remind you tonight. You may have lost out. You may be sitting around licking your wounds, and it's easy to do. But don't hang your harp this week. Just make up your mind. I still got a song. I still got, hey, hey, he's still worth praising. He's still worshiping. He's still working for. Hey, I said, bless his name. Just go ahead and fill up your horn with oil. One more time. God sees there's more inside of you. Of course, you know the latter part of this story. He goes and anoints David. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 1 that there was a boy born unto Jesse. His name was David. If you go down to verse number 17, it said, and the generations of Christ are these. God saw a king in that anointing. But not only that, God had provided the king through that anointing. There's a lot of pastors that no doubt feel like I've wore out and I've poured out. I can't hardly do it no more. I don't know if I could go back and keep on. God may have one more anointing in you. There's some mamas and some daddies. There's some grandmas and some grandpas that might be in this room that you feel like I'm wore out, I'm poured out, I've give everything, I've done what I could, and I just don't know what to do. I can't do anything else, but I'm glad to tell you God looks ahead and God already knows. Hey, and it may be the very next anointing that you have might be the greatest anointing in your life. I tell you a little story. If you're going to play some music, you can come. There's a man in our church, started attending, I don't know, 15 years ago or something like that. And he came, far as I knew, everything was right between him and God, and a few years into it, he got saved. Hallelujah. His wife passed. He felt disconnected. Feel like this just ain't home anymore. But Bill, I'll never forget him coming to me and saying, "Preacher, I love you, and I love the church, but it just don't feel right, me being there anymore." Preacher Mike, he kind of faded out. Well, just so happens, God had a lady in the church that had befriended him. Her husband had passed. And she loved her church and she loved her pastor. Before very long, Brother Gary, he started showing up again. Now, I've been in this thing long enough. I may have fell off the turnip truck, but it wasn't the last turnip truck. When old boy starts coming around because an old girl, I'm thinking, I've seen this play out many a time. He fell in love with her. They ended up getting married. Everything's going great. Everything's going fine. Integral part of the church. Had a heart attack. Went through some difficulties. And through that, myself or the church didn't act or react like they felt like we should have in different circumstances. He pulled me to the side. We had gone to an outing. He said, "Preacher, I want you to know you hurt me." And he began to tell me about what his side, his view was. And I didn't realize it. And I told him just as honest as I could, "I'm sorry. I didn't know. We done what we thought we could and should. And I'm sorry, brother." And I thought, well, won't be long. You'll be gone. That's a couple years ago. This past Sunday, he didn't leave. This past Sunday, at the end of the service, he's in his 60s. He stood up and told God and everybody. He said, "I got saved down there at that altar on 2010. He said, "But this morning, I gave my all. I gave everything to Christ." Now, Brother Gary, it had been easy to feel wore out and poured out and say, "I just don't have it to give. I just don't know what to do." But God said, "I got another anointing. I got something else that I can do." This old boy, 2012, out of nowhere, faithful. All the services involved in all kinds of things, just old redneck. That's the kind of folk I pastor. Just regular old redneck folk, amen. And his wife up and leaves him. His world crashed down, fell apart. He tried to stick in there, tried to be faithful, veered off the way a little, had some rough patches along the way. Well, he had adopted a little boy from that relationship. It wasn't his, it was hers, but he adopted him. And that's 2012. Years have gone by. He eventually found a lady that loved the Lord, and they got married, and they're faithful serving in the church. Brother Gary, this past Sunday, a teenage boy walked down the aisle with his stepmama, bowed in the altar, and got born again. Now, it'd been easy back in 2012 to say, I'm done with it. I'm poured out. I'm wore out. But I'm glad God is still in the business. I'm saying there may be one more anointing. There might be one more thing. I want you to stand, if you will. I want to say this. If you're wore out and poured out, may very well be, God's got the greatest blessing of your life lays just ahead of you in that next anointing. I wonder how many of us should come and gather around and say, God, I'm weak, I'm weary, I need your help, I need your hope. Here we come. God, I'm wore out and I'm poured out, but Lord, I believe there's something great ahead for me. I'm going to give up. I'm not going to turn around. There's one more that you may very well turn everything around with. Father, in Jesus' name, oh God, I pray, Lord, that you'd touch us. God, you'd help us. I pray, God, for every mom and dad, every grandma and grandpa that makes up this assembly. I pray, oh God, Lord, as they feel like I've done everything I can, I just don't know if I can one more time. God, may you challenge us in your word. Arise, fill up the horn with oil. I have provided myself a king. There's more ahead of us than what's behind us. God, I pray for every man of God, every missionary, every evangelist, that God, they poured and poured and poured, and God, they're weary and it hurts. God, they just want to sit down and cry. Oh, God, may you challenge us to arise, fill up our horn with oil, and go. The greatest things in our ministry may lie just ahead.